I had her singing that second verse on purpose. Every time I hear that, Brother Charles, it makes me think about those who, like Brother Randy, they ran their race. Just a few more days to live. And I think about them as they, Brother Smart, these men who have served God all their lives, given God everything they had. Now they're at the end of that thing.
Hey.
Well, good. Tell you what, we own a lot.
Yeah.
Those men that have gone before us and blazed the trail. And be honest with you, they did all the work. We got it pretty easy. That's the truth. Well, anyway, take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 2. And put your finger in there and turn to Romans chapter 12. Philippians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 12. I can in no way really add to anything we heard on Monday night, but I cannot get past it. It's just been on my mind constantly, day and night, ever since I heard the lesson on Monday night. From the preacher's class to the second class, it was just amazing. And I wish there was some way that every Christian, everybody who proclaims to know Christ as their Savior in this country could hear that lesson. It's one of those things that would just literally change your life. But Romans chapter number 12, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to look at some scripture tonight. My head is all kind of stopped up, so we're just going to do the best we can with what we got. Amen. But I want you to look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. I'm sure you know the scripture. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That word beseech is a very strong word. It's almost like he's begging. He's not talking to the lost and dying world out there. He's talking to the church. He's talking to saved people. Would you agree with that? And he said, I beseech you, I beg you. You that are saved, you that know Christ as your Savior, you know you're going to heaven when you die. I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
So in verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 12, Paul is telling us what God expects of us. He's telling us what to do.
Amen.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
He said, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present your body a holy sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's the least I can do after all he's done for me.
Amen.
Now, he's told me what to do, but thank God, he didn't leave off right there. Now, Monday night, we heard a lot about conformity. In other words, you get saved and everybody tells you what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to cut your hair like this. You're supposed to dress like this. You're supposed to walk like this. You're supposed to talk like this. They tell you what you're supposed to be, but they fail to tell you how to be what you're supposed to be. Does that make sense? I heard that stuff all my life. I heard preachers preach, if you shave that mustache, God might save you. Brethren, that's not right. I believe God works from the inside out. Jesus scolded the scribes and the Pharisees. He said to clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but the inside are full of sin and deceit. Y'all remember that? You're talking about the sepulcher or the grave. He said, clean the outside. You whiten it. You make it look good, but inside it's full of dead men's bones. So what good is it if we walk right and we talk right and we dress right? And by the way, I think we ought to dress right. Amen. I think a lady ought to look like a lady. And a man ought to look like a man. I believe modesty is the key thing in the Bible. Are we okay? I still believe in standards, but I don't believe that somebody comes to church and they get saved and we force them into this thing. I believe they've got to learn how to become it. In other words, it's not what you wear, it's what you are. But I'm glad in verse number 2, he tells us how we can do verse number 1. Verse number one says, I beseech you that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy. Oh, I got a problem.
Yeah. Amen.
I got a problem right there. Okay, I got to present my body a holy sacrifice to the Lord. Well, I'm not holy. There's nothing holy about me. I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but I've still got this flesh, and I've still got all these fleshly desires. I got a problem with that thing of being holy. How about you?
Amen.
How many of you try to be holy and you come up short?
Yeah.
Let me give you some encouragement. You always will come up short.
Right.
You're never going to be like Him until you're delivered out of this body of flesh. Amen?
Amen.
But in verse number 2 is where I want you to look, and then we're going to Philippians chapter number 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye therefore transformed.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at those two words just for a second tonight. To conform, I looked at these words a little bit yesterday and today. To conform, in essence, would mean to take what you already have and press it into a mold of something you want it to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
To take what I have and to press that. My grandbabies, they love Play-Doh.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, I still do. I love Play-Doh. I love the way it smells. I love the way it tastes. It's salty, amen. How many of you tasted Play-Doh? Don't look at me like I'm stupid, amen. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But they got Play-Doh, and they got all these little things, and they got these little molds that you press that Play-Doh into, and you make whatever, a dinosaur, a horse, a chicken, a cow, whatever the thing is. It's got a mold, and you take that Play-Doh, but a lot of times they don't have enough Play-Doh. And you press it into the mold, but there's something missing.
Amen.
There's not enough there of what you already have to press into that mold to make it what you want it to be. Are you listening?
Amen.
That's the problem we have when we try to conform. When we try to conform to Christianity and to be everything that the church expects us to be. To be everything that the brethren expects us to be.
Yeah.
But to transform means to change altogether.
Amen.
To transform means to change altogether. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Behold, all things passed away, or all things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we got saved, we didn't just get conformed. We were supposedly getting and still getting transformed. Y'all remember the toys? I remember when Todd was a little boy at White Oak, and I'd preach in junior church, and I preached on this chapter, and I preached on God's transformer. And I called Brother Todd late on a Saturday night. I called his mom and got Todd on the phone. I said, have you got a transformer? And he said, I do. And it was an airplane. You remember that? The airplane was about that big. It was the greatest illustration. And I preached on God transforming you, taking something that was this and turning it into something totally opposite from what it was. It started out an airplane, but it wound up once you got that thing all unfolded and configured to what it was supposed to be. It was a big robot with machine guns on its arms and rockets on its back. I mean, it was bad to the bone. It started out just that's the plain old jet airplane. But that's what it is. When we get saved and we really surrender our life to God, He will take what we have and not conform it, but change it into what He wants it to be.
Amen.
In other words, we ought to be transformed into His image. We ought to be becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day.
Amen.
But I want you to notice what Paul said. He said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Mind. When you get saved, if you will allow the Lord, He will change the way you think.
Right.
He will change. And I got to listening to Brother David on Monday night, and he just hit the nail on the head, Brother Charles. That's the problem with a lot of Christianity today. It's the way we think.
Right.
We're walking in a newness of life. We're walking in a new position with Christ, but we've still got the old way of thinking.
That's right.
The Bible said in Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
So is he. And you'll see that thing over and over again where the thinking and the heart are tied together. Would you agree with that? Saul said, give me a new heart. In other words, change my mind. Some of us need to get on the altar and ask God, just change our mind.
Yes.
Change the way I think. Yes. We've got too many Christians that are bitter, ornery, angry, miserable, no fun to be around. Are you listening? Am I doubting their salvation? No, not at all. But something's lacking.
Yes.
That changing of the way we think. I'll never forget the first time in church after I got saved. There were so many in the church, and I won't name names, but Brother Todd and some of these here know some of the ones I'm talking about, but there were men I've watched all my life. I've seen in church and out of church. I had a word for them. Hypocrites.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't stand them. Because I saw what they were on Sunday and what they were on Monday. But I came to church after I got saved. My wife and I were sitting there, and I'd say, there's Brother so-and-so. Man, tears rolling down my face. I said, "Watch your love, you." He's had an impact on my life, and you know what happened? God changed my heart. God changed my heart. What I was doing before was just looking for fault in me.
That's good.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Amen.
I was magnifying what they were on Monday, but minimalizing what they were on Sunday. Nobody's perfect.
Amen.
Everybody makes mistakes. Are you listening? But what I'm trying to say is when I got truly born again, God did something in my heart, and it changed the way I think. It changed my outlook. And there's so many people who got saved, Brother Chris, but their outlook hadn't changed. They still got that old mean, bitter, that old whatever it is. They still got that. But God don't want us to have that. God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, He wants to change the way we think. And if we change the way we think, we'll change the way we act. Amen. I ain't got to tell you how to dress. If you get your heart right, the Holy Spirit will do that. I ain't got to tell you you need to tithe and give 10% of your income. If you get your heart right and God changes your thinking from the inside out, you'll do that automatically. You want to do it. You'll be saying, hey, when's the offering plate coming around? When do I give? When do I do this? When do I do that? God will just automatically do that thing in your heart if you allow Him to change the way you think. Here's our problem. Well, I'm just who I am.
That's right.
I'm just who I am. That's like the guy who sat in my office, whose wife said he never tells me he loves me. And the man's excuse is, well, my daddy never told me he loved me. My response is always, I can't help it. Your daddy was an idiot.
Amen.
Amen. You need to change the way you think. Especially when you're thinking it's not right. When you're thinking is looking for the worst in everybody instead of the best in everybody.
Amen.
You need to change the way you think.
Amen.
Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we do this transformation? Now, I love our ladies, and I try not to make too much over them and set them up on a pedestal where they feel like, boy, if I mess up, and I don't mean to do that. But my favorite thing about it is watching the transformation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about from the day they come.
Yeah.
And I watch their countenance begin to change.
Hallelujah.
I watch them on that first day they're here, and they look at me like they could run through. And then Sunday after Sunday, something changed. That's God working in their heart. Changing the way they think. They come in thinking this is just another self-righteous Christian trying to make me be like they are. Our desire is not that you be like we are. Our desire is that was Paul's desire when the church took Christ be formed in you. He wasn't trying to get them to be like him. He wanted them to be like Jesus. Philippians chapter number 2. Trying not to get sidetracked. Boy, God sure is good, isn't
it? Amen.
Our greatest example, I preach a message on attitude from this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to try not to rehearse that to you because I'm sure you've heard it. But I want to look at it in a little different light tonight. But Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. The Bible said, let this, say it with me.
Mind
be in you. When you think about the mind, what do you think about? Well, you're thinking, right? Let this mind, let this way of thinking, if you will. Yeah. Let this way of thinking be in you.
Yeah.
What way of thinking? Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I studied his life up one side and one the other. If you ever want to buy a book that'll help you, get Brother Randy Pike's book, The Life of Christ.
Amen.
Study anything you can get your hands on that's doctrinally right on the life of Christ. You study the Lord Jesus, and you know what it'll do? It'll change you from the inside out. And it'll make you want to be more and more. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Amen.
He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what kind of mind did he have? What kind of mind did he have? Look at verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Now, what kind of mind did Jesus have? I'll give you five simple little thoughts and we'll go to the house tonight. If we want to have the mind of Christ, if we want God to change our mind, and by the way, he will not change the way you think until you want to change the way you think.
Amen.
It dawned on me one day, I don't want to be the way I was.
Right.
I don't want to be the daddy I was with a temper. I don't want to be the husband I was flying off the handle and every little thing. I don't want to be the pastor. I want to be what Christ wants me to be.
Amen.
And when we get to the point to where we have the desire to be what he wants us to be, and by the way, he don't want us to all be alike. Let me say it again. He does not want us to all be alike.
Amen.
When I got saved, he had to dress like Brother So-and-so, wear the same kind of ties Brother So-and-so, the same kind of boots or shoes. I remember when I don't remember which, Brother Freddy, but it was an issue whether you wore boots or dress shoes.
Yeah.
One was liberal. I remember, I think dress shoes was liberal, and boots, he was godly. I'm godly tonight, amen. I'm the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Well, they tried to take your Play-Doh, which was insufficient, and press it into a formula that it could never fill.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Now, if we have a desire, you will never make yourself what you're supposed to be. I don't care how hard you try.
Amen, sir.
I tried. The Jews tried it for thousands of years. They tried living up to the letter of the law. The Pharisees tried it. They couldn't cut it.
That's right. Amen.
And I would say there were more godly than most of us. Brother Peacock brought it out the other night. Even the Mormons, they have stricter standards than what we do. I didn't know it. He said, they don't even drink caffeine. I'll say how they alive. Amen. I don't know what he said. I don't say how it functions, man. Have a cup of coffee. That's what's wrong with you. The Jehovah's Witness have stricter standards than we do. The Amish have stricter standards than we do. We're trying to press ourselves into a mold that we'll never measure up to. But if God moves in our heart and changes our way of thinking, it might make a difference in our lives. Let's look at the Lord in verse number 6. He said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Number one, here's the first thing we got to do. We've got to totally surrender. We have got to totally surrender. Do you realize the magnitude of verse number 7? But made himself of no reputation. Do you know who he was? Do you know what he had to step down from to become what he became? He didn't just step down from a wealthy position. He didn't just step down from a lofty position. He didn't just go from being rich to being poor. He didn't just go from having many possessions to having nothing. He went from being it.
That's right.
The King of Kings, the only begotten Son of God, sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father. He went from that to being me. And to be in you.
Yeah.
The first thing we got to do if we want to know or possess the mind of Christ is we got to get to the place where we say, I give.
Yeah.
I give up, God. I submit myself to you.
Amen.
We got to yield ourselves to Him. We got to give way. That's what yield means. We got to give way to the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to work in our heart.
Amen.
Well, I think, but here's the problem.
That's right.
Therein lies the problem. Well, preacher, I think, well, you know what? It don't matter what we think.
Amen.
And I don't mean to sound like a smart ass when I say that. It does not matter what I think. What I think needs to line up with this book. And if what I think don't line up with the book, then what I think is wrong. Are you okay? There are a lot of people led away. And we talked about that a lot the last two nights. These people watching these nut preachers on the internet and all this stuff, and they get to enticing you with their eloquent speech and all that stuff, and you get thinking, oh, and I think they might be right. You better be careful how you think.
Yeah. I promise.
That thinking will get you in trouble.
Yes.
Amen. How many times you think about something until you got a mess? You go all the way back there to Achan. In the book of Joshua, God said, touch not. Do not take anything for yourself. And Achan said, I looked, and I coveted, and I took. He did some thinking before he done it. He did some thinking. Be careful about what you think. What you think is not always right.
Amen.
In watching myself the majority of the time, what I think is not right. Y'all okay? People all the time ask, well, what do you think? What do you think? And you know what? I have gotten to the place where I don't ask that question a whole lot. I got in a dilemma in a situation I was having to deal with a while back, and I thought, well, I'm going to call this preacher, and this preacher that I look up to highly, all three of them. I called all three and asked, here's a situation, I need your advice. This one said, do this. The next one said, do that. And the next one said, don't do none of that, do this. I called three preachers and got three different answers. You know what I realized? They're in another part of the country. They don't know the people I'm talking about. They have no clue. They're just looking at a generic issue and throwing me out an answer real quick of what they could do. And the Holy Spirit said, whoa, son. Would you like to consider what I think? Would you like my input? Now, you've got Dr. So-and-so and this one and that one. You've got all their input. They're great men. Don't get me wrong. And in essence, none of them were really wrong. But none of their advice matched my situation. You know why? They didn't know my situation. And you get around a lot of people and get to talking about a certain subject, everybody's got to add in there what we call it, 2 cents worth. You got to let everybody know what you think. And what you think doesn't really matter.
Amen.
We got to surrender our mind to God.
Amen.
We get saved and everybody says, give God your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Before you ever present your body, you're going to have to present your mind and say, God, you're going to have to take over this thing and take over my thought process, because my thought process, it dictates the outward process.
Amen.
We okay? Can God change your mind?
Yes,
yes sir.
He's certainly changed my mind over the years.
Amen.
He's changed my mind a lot just since I've been pastor.
Yeah.
An awful lot. And I thank him for it. But to do that, you've got to be willing to surrender.
Yeah.
Now, that's a problem with most of us. Because we're all about me, myself, and I.
Amen.
Well, somebody said we live in a selfie generation.
Yeah.
We're all about self. Me. John said, I got to decrease so that he can increase.
Amen.
In other words, I've got to become less Eddie White, more Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to do that, he's going to have to change the way I think. And to do that, I'm going to have to totally surrender myself to him. In other words, throw up my hands and say, okay, God, I give up.
Yes.
I give up. How many of you lay awake at night trying to figure out a way to solve this and solve that? And you go through it in your mind, no. You think this might work. Why don't you just surrender that thing to God?
Amen.
And say, Lord, what do you think? Lord, what's your mind? For us to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have to get to the place where we can surrender. For Jesus to surrender, he voluntarily limited the use of who he truly was. Does that make sense? He voluntarily limited the use of who he was. He was God in the flesh. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. At Calvary, he had to limit who he was. He was God. He didn't even open his mouth. He could have spoke the words and their faces would have blew off. Are you listening? He had to come way down from, and people like, don't you realize who I am? Oh, I realize who I am. I'm nothing. Without Christ, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, a sinner on my way to hell. The best I could ever hope for. But Jesus surrendered himself to the will of the Father. Not my will, he said.
Amen.
But thine be done. It's a hard thing to do, is surrender who you are. God is not wanting to change your identity. He wants to enhance your identity.
Yes.
You're not going to cease to be Charles Dyer.
Amen.
But you're going to become the Charles Dyer whom God dwells in.
Amen.
And whom God walks with.
Amen.
Surrender. We sing that song, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. And have we ever really done that? Have we ever really done that? Just got on our face and said, okay, God, here I am. 100%. Not just my hands, not just my feet, not just my dress, not just my speech, but God in here. In here. God, I'm yours. I'm surrendered to you. In verse number 7, not only was there surrender, but there was service. There was service. The Bible said he took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came to serve. We talk about that title as a servant, and sometimes we look at it like it's a bad thing. And it's not a bad thing. To serve means you're taking care of somebody else. To serve means you're seeing to somebody else's needs. You go to Calvary again, and we have those 7 sayings from the cross. Of course, Jesus said, I first. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But before he said all that, he said, Father, forgive them. Mama, go home with John. John, take care of Mama. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what he was being? At Calvary, on the cross, suffering and bleeding for our sins. He's being a servant.
Amen.
He's being a servant. Lord, pray God transform you.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, we're a servant, all right, a servant of self.
That's right.
I'm guilty of that. What about me?
Yeah.
What do I get out of it? What's in this for me? What if it's nothing? What if it's nothing? What if you do something in this church and nobody ever recognizes you for it? Could you be upset? What if you clean like Brother Dennis and Miss Linda did, and nobody ever says, hey, you're doing a good job? What if you play the piano like Brother Todd does and nobody ever says, man, that was awesome? Are you okay? What if you preach a message and nobody says, Brother Chris, oh man, that changed my life?
Yeah.
What if nobody ever said it? You know how many preachers lived and traveled and preached before us?
Right.
And they were never appreciated, they were hated.
Yeah.
Some of them even killed and give their life for what they preached.
Right.
A servant doesn't serve to give.
Right.
He serves to give.
Right.
Jesus surrendered who he was to become what we were. But then he took on him the form of a servant. Lord, make me a servant. What's that little poem? Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I deal with praying, my prayer should be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that I may live for others, Lord, that I may live like thee. What was that old acronym? J-O-Y, joy, Jesus, others, and then you. I don't know about you, but with me gets in the way. Me gets in the way. Me says I didn't get recognized. Me says I've not been appreciated. But buddy, when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, and you've got to notice the process, first comes surrender. When we surrender to the Lord, we don't care who gets the credit.
Yes.
We really don't care who gets the credit. I preached in meetings before when it got on and the altar got full and many got saved. And the guy who was supposed to preach and didn't get to preach got mad. I thought, who is this thing about? You? Or the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Surrender, service. And then verse number 8. The Bible said, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have to learn to surrender ourselves, heart, soul, body, mind, all of it. We're going to have to give it to Him 100%.
Amen.
We're going to have to learn to become a servant.
Yes.
To know that our mission in this life is not taking care of me, it's taking care of those around me.
Amen.
I heard a preacher say one time in a marriage counseling session, a class I was sitting in, he said, the woman is never to worry about her needs. He said, in a lot of marriage counseling sessions, you'll hear the wife say, well, he's not meeting my needs. And he said, lady, you're not supposed to worry about your needs. And sir, you're not supposed to worry about your needs. Ma'am, if all you focus on is meeting his needs, you can be guaranteed he'll meet your needs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's just our minds in the wrong place. I've got to change him to make him what I need him to be for me. Instead, I've got to change me to be what I need to be for him. But verse number 8, the Bible said he humbled himself. Submission. Whether you realize it or not, for most of us in this country, in America, submission is a hard thing. Submission is a hard thing. We can't even submit ourselves to the leader of our country.
Amen.
Ever since the election, you don't hear talk on the news, let's get behind the president, let's pray for the president, let's support the president, let's impeach him because we don't like him. Nobody wants to submit to authority unless it's the authority they choose. We okay?
Amen.
Maybe God sets those up.
Yeah.
We vote, but God knows what He's doing. I didn't like Obama, but he was president.
Yeah.
And I prayed for him.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you what, I always prayed. I did pray for him. Submission. Submission. That means to humble ourselves. When we think of the word humble, we think of becoming, and it is a meekness, there's no doubt about it. But a lot of people think humility is this outward thing. It's not, it's an inward thing.
That's right.
My wife and I went back this summer, we went to Kentucky. I had to preach, and we stayed over and went and saw the Ark.
Yeah.
And if you're ever in Kentucky and can go do that, I recommend it. Brother John and his wife went. It is amazing. I don't know how it was when you were there, but when we were there, there was a ton of Amish people there. Of course, a lot of Amish people had a hand in building that thing. I give them that. They are craftsmen. Amen. But we had to ride a bus from the parking lot, I think it was the parking lot, to the ark.
Yeah.
And on that bus was a group of Amish kids. And my wife and I got to snigger. Now, we weren't making, I guess we wasn't making fun, look at it. But every one of them, them boys, they all had a bowl cut. Y'all know what that is? They put, literally, they put a bowl over their head and cut their hair around it. They had on homemade clothes that did not fit. Not near one of those clothes fit. Everything they had on was homemade. But then we got to looking at their feet. And every one of them was wearing a $150 pair of Nike Air Jordans. Well, I thought, what's up with that? If you're going to wear the Nikes, you might as well be strangled, amen. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to appear to be humble. But that pride's going to stick out somewhere. Amen. I was in Waldorf, Maryland several years ago preaching. My wife was with me, and we got behind an Amish buggy going down the road at night. And it had them neon lights up under it. Like you little kids in their little rice rockers, you know what I'm talking about? And then we got up beside them, they had them a boom box, and it was boom, boom, boom. And they was going down the road, but they was just, you know, I thought, man, what's up with that? Trying to appear humble, being humble is to everything. Do not equate humility with poverty.
Right.
Being poor don't make you humble.
Right.
No more than being rich makes you humble.
Amen.
God gave you the ability to make a living, make it.
Amen.
God gave you the ability to be able to dress nice, dress nice.
Amen.
Don't come in here with your toes hanging out your shoes just to prove you're humble.
Amen.
That's not humility.
Yeah.
You know what humility is? It's thinking less of yourself.
Yes.
A lot of us are guilty of thinking more of ourselves than what we ought to think. The Bible says, take heed. Take heed. Be careful. You get to thinking too highly of yourself, you're about to fall.
Amen.
I paraphrase that, but that's what the book says.
Amen.
Some people, I remember the old saying, somebody said, if we can buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth, we'd be wealthy. Amen. I don't care who you are. We're not careful. We get to thinking we're something.
That's right.
When we're not. I don't know how many times the Lord has had to grab the reins, put the bits to my mouth, and say, go, bud. Get to preaching in a meeting, and God moved in a great way. People line up, I mean, for a mile, sit there and sign Bibles and get pictures and all that stuff. Man, you didn't think, well, I did. The Lord said, hey, where would you have been had I been?
Amen.
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 We're going to have them. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have to learn to surrender.
Yes.
We're going to have to learn to serve. We're going to have to learn to submit. To submit. What's it mean to submit? Well, Lord, I give my will to you. Just like Jesus did in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In other words, I don't want what's in it. And I believe what he saw with all my heart was my sin and your sin.
The
Lord said, I don't want to take this on me, but God, if that be your will, it'll be. God, if that's what you want, that's all that matters. That's the issue. But then there's sacrifice. The Bible said he became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. I see a lot of people that are willing to serve if it works out good for them.
That's right.
But not many willing to serve if it doesn't go their way. Brother Charles mentioned Brother Randy Pye. Been around him since I was just a kid. My home church, a lot of supported him for years. He was one of our missionaries. And I always remember him coming in on those crutches. It's like a feeble little old man. But then he stands up behind that Bible.
Yes, my brother.
That little feeble old man became a giant.
Yeah.
And not one time, all those years, I ever hear him complaining about the crutches. I said it Sunday night, I never defined who he was. He was willing to sacrifice. God, I'll serve you if you'll do this. God, I'll live for you if you'll do this. What if he doesn't? God, I'll serve you if you'll heal my life. What if he don't? Lord, I'll serve you if you'll touch my child. What if you don't?
Right.
Are we willing to sacrifice for him? If we're going to have the mind of Christ, that's what he did for us.
Amen.
As a sheep led before its shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. As he stood before Pilate, he had nothing to say.
Amen.
Not one word. If it hadn't been us, we would have got the bless God attitude. Bless God, you know who you're dealing with. You think you're something sitting on that throne? You rule Rome, I rule the world. He was willing to sacrifice himself for us. I don't know how I'd handle something happening to my wife or to one of my children.
Right.
I'd like to think that I'd just keep on serving God. I hope I would. I pray I would. I'm not cocky enough to say it doesn't matter. I would, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know. I've never been there. I've never walked in those shoes.
Sure.
I hope I'd be willing to sacrifice.
Right.
If we don't have the mind of Christ, I'm going to surrender. That's step number one. God, I'm above. I'm tired of doing it my way. Lord, it's your way or no way.
Amen.
We're going to have to be some service. We're going to have some current servant. We're going to have to be some submission. We're even going to have some sacrifice. I wish it was camp meeting every week. I wish we were shouting and running the aisles tonight. I wish every Sunday was like the Sunday the kids came back from Brother Mark's. But it's not always like that.
Right.
Sometimes it's like Sunday morning, pretty somber.
Yes.
And make you think a little bit, amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God, I want what you want. I pray specifically in the office Sunday morning, God, you know what needs to be done in this service. And you know what needs not to be done in this service. Are we happy with what he wants? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. If we surrender, if we submit, if we sacrifice, maybe we can just follow these steps in verse number 9. There'll be some satisfaction.
Yes.
Wherefore? That word means because of what's just been said. That's why I'm saying what I'm about to say. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Yes.
That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue confess to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
What do you say? I'm saying it's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it.
Yes, sir.
To totally submit ourselves to God and let him have control of our heart and our mind. God, change the way I think. Change the way I look at things. Change the way I see people.
Yes.
Yeah. The people in this room, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But all you see is wrong. Talk to you 5 minutes and I know how you think. All you talk about is what's wrong with this person. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with you?
That's right.
What's wrong with you? leave us to figure out our own.
Amen.
And trust him to make it better.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand there.